The Day of Doom, or a poetical description of the great and last judgment, by Michael Wigglesworth, teacher of the church at Malden in New England, 1662. Acts 17, verse 31, because he is appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Matthew 24, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. A prayer unto Christ, the Judge of the world. O dearest, dread, most glorious King, all of thy justice judgment sing. Do thou my head and heart inspire, to sing aright is thy desire. Thee alone I'll invocate, for I do much abominate, to call the muses to mine aid, which is the unchristian use and trade, of some that Christians would be thought, and yet they worship worse than not. Oh, what a deal of blasphemy, and heathenish impiety. In Christian poets may be found where heathen gods with praise are crowned. They make Jehovah to stand by till Juno, Venus, Mercury, with frowning Mars and thundering Jove, rule earth below and heaven above. But I have learned to pray to none save unto God in Christ alone. Nor will I laud, no, not in jest, that which I know God doth detest. I reckon it a damning evil to give God's praises to the devil. Thou Christ art he to whom I pray, thy glory fain I would display. O guide me by thy sacred sprite, so to indite and so to write, that thine own holy name may praise, and teach the sons of men thy ways. The Day of Doom, by Michael Wigglesworth. Still was the night, serene and bright, when all men sleeping lay. Calm was the season, and carnal reason thought so 'twould last for aye. So take thine ease, let sorrow cease, much good thou hast in store. This was their song, their cups among the evening before. Wallowing in all kind of sin, vile wretches lay secure. The best of men had scarcely then their lamps kept in good ure. Virgins unwise, who through disguise amongst the best were numbered, had closed their eyes, yea, and the wise through sloth and frailty slumbered. Like as of old, when men grew bold, God's threatenings to contemn, who stopped their ear and would not hear when mercy warned them, but took their course without remorse till God began to pour destruction the world upon in a tempestuous shower, who put away the evil day and drowned their cares and fears, till drowned were they and swept away by vengeance unawares. So at the last, while men sleep fast in their security, surprised they are in such a snare as cometh suddenly. For at midnight breaks forth a light which turns the night to day, and speedily in hideous cry doth all the world dismay. Sinners awake, their hearts do ache, trembling their loins surpriseth. Amazed with fear by what they hear, each one of them arises. They rush from beds with giddy heads, and to their windows run, viewing this light which shines more bright than doth the noonday sun. Straightway appears, they see it with tears, the Son of God most dread, who with his train comes on amain to judge both quick and dead. Before his face the heavens give place, and skies are rent asunder, with mighty voice and hideous noise more terrible than thunder. His brightness damps heaven's glorious lamps and makes them hide their heads, as if afraid and quite dismayed they quit their wonted steads. Ye sons of men that durst contemn the threatenings of God's word, I'll cheer you now, your hearts I trow are thrilled as with a sword. Now atheist blind, whose brutish mind a God could never see, dost thou perceive, dost now believe that Christ thy judge shall be? Stout courage is, whose hardiness could death and hell outface. Are you as bold, now you behold your judge draw near apace? They cry, no, no, alas, and woe, our courage all is gone. Our hardiness, full hardiness, hath us undone, undone. No heart so bold, but now grows cold and almost dead with fear. No eye so dry, but now can cry and pour out many a tear. Earth potentates and powerful states, captains and men of might, are quite abashed, their courage dashed at this most dreadful sight. Mere men lament, great men do rent their robes and tear their hair. They do not spare their flesh to tear through horrible despair. All kindreds wail, all hearts do fail, horror the world doth feel, with weeping eyes and loud outcries, yet knows not how to kill. Some hide themselves in kens and dells and places underground. Some rashly leap into the deep to escape by being drowned. Some to the rocks, O senseless blocks, and woody mountains run, that there they might this fearful sight and dreaded presence shun. In vain do they to mountains say, fall on us and us hide, from judge's ire more hot than fire, for who may it abide? No hiding place can from his face sinners at all conceal, whose flaming eye hid things doth spy and darkest things reveal. The judge draws nigh, exalted high upon a lofty throne, amidst the throng of angels strong, lo, Israel's Holy One, the excellence of whose presence in awful majesty amazes nature, and every creature doth more than terrify. The mountains smoke, the hills are shook, the earth is rent and torn, as if she should be clear dissolved, or from her center born. The sea doth roar, forsakes the shore, and shrinks away for fear. The wild beasts flee into the sea so soon as he draws near. Whose glory bright, whose wondrous might, whose power imperial, so far surpass whatever was in realms terrestrial, that tongues of men nor angels' pen cannot the same express, and therefore I must pass it by lest speaking should transgress. Before a throne a trump is blown, proclaiming the day of doom. Forthwith he cries, ye dead arise, and unto judgment come. No sooner said, but 'tis obeyed, sepulchres opened are. Dead bodies all rise at his call, and mighty power declare. Both sea and land at his command their dead at once surrender. The fire and air constrained are, also their dead to tender. The mighty word of this great Lord links body and soul together, both of the just and the unjust, to part no more forever. The same translates from mortal states to immortality, all that survive and be alive in the twinkling of an eye, that so they may abide for aye to endless weal or woe. Both are renet and reprobate are made to die no more. His winged hosts fly through all coasts, together gathering both good and bad, both quick and dead, and all to judgment bring. Out of their holes, those creeping moles that hid themselves for fear, by force they take and quickly make before the judge appear. Thus every one before the throne of Christ to judge is brought, both righteous and impious, that good or ill hath wrought. A separation and differing station by Christ appointed is, to sinners sad, twixt good and bad, twixt heirs of woe and bliss. At Christ's right hand the sheep do stand, his holy martyrs who, for his dear name, suffering shame, calamity, and woe, like champions stood, and with their blood their testimony sealed, whose innocence without offense to Christ their judge appealed, next unto whom there find a room all Christ's afflicted ones, who being chastised neither despised nor sank amidst their groans, who by the rod were turned to God and loved him the more, not murmuring nor quarreling when they were chastened sore. Moreover, such as loved much that had not such a trial as might constrain to so great pain and such deep self-denial, yet ready were the cross to bear when Christ him called thereto, and did rejoice to hear his voice, their counted sheep also. Christ's flock of lambs there also stands, whose faith was weak yet true. All sound believers, gospel receivers, whose grace was small but grew, and them among an infant throng of babes for whom Christ died, whom for his own by ways unknown to many sanctified, all stand before their Savior in long white robes he clad, their countenance full of pleasance appearing wondrous glad. O glorious sight, behold how bright dust heaps are made to shine, conformed so their Lord unto whose glory is divine. At Christ's left hand the goats do stand, all whining hypocrites, who for self-ends did seem Christ's friends, but fostered guileful spirits, whose sheep resembled, but they dissembled, their hearts were not sincere, who once did throng Christ's lambs among, but now must not come near, apostates base and runaways, such as have Christ forsaken, of whom the devil with seven more evil hath fresh possession taken. Sinners in grain, reserved to pain and torments most severe, because against light they sinned with spite, are also placed there. There also stand a numerous band that no profession made of godliness, nor to redress their ways at all essayed, who better knew, but sinful crew, gospel and law despised, who all Christ's knocks withstood like blocks, and would not be advised. Moreover, there with them appear a number numberless, of great and small, vile wretches all, that did God's law transgress. Idolaters, false worshippers, profaners of God's name, who not at all therein did call, or took in vain the same. Blasphemers lewd, and swearers shrewd, scoffers at purity, they hated God, contemned his rod, and loved security. Sabbath polluters, saints persecutors, presumptuous men and proud, who never loved those that reproved, all stand amongst this crowd. Adulterers and whoremongers were there withal unchaste, they're covetous and ravenous, that riches got too fast, who used vile ways themselves to raise to estates and worldly wealth, oppression by or knavery, by force or fraud or stealth. Moreover, there together were children flagitious, and parents who did them undo by nurture vicious. False witness bearers and self forswearers, murderers and men of blood, witches, enchanters, and alehouse haunters beyond account there stood. Their place, their find, all heathen blind, that nature's light abused,
although they had no tidings glad of gospel grace refused. There stand all nations and generations of Adam's progeny, whom Christ redeemed not, whom he esteemed not through infidelity, who no peacemaker nor undertaker to shroud them from God's ire ever obtained, they must be pained with everlasting fire. These numerous bands, wringing their hands and weeping, all stand there, filled with anguish, whose hearts do languish through self-tormenting fear. Fast by them stand at Christ's left hand a lion fierce and fell, the dragon bold, that serpent old, that hurried souls to hell. There also stand under command legions of spirits unclean, and hellish fiends that are no friends to God nor unto men, with dismal chains and strongest reins like prisoners of hell. They're held in place before Christ's face till he their doom shall tell. These void of tears, but filled with fears and dreadful expectation of endless pains and scalding flames, stand waiting for damnation. All silence keep, both goats and sheep, before the judge's throne, with mild aspect to his elect. Then speaks the Holy One, "My sheep, draw near, your sentence hear, which is to you no dread, who clearly now discern and know your sins are pardoned. 'Twas meet that ye should judged be, that so the world may spy no cause of grudge when I is judge and deal impartially. Now therefore all, both great and small, the ground and reason why these men do stand at my right hand and look so cheerfully. These men be those my Father chose before the world's foundation, and to me gave that I should save from death and condemnation. For whose dear sake I flesh did take, was of a woman born, and did inure myself to endure unjust reproach and scorn. For then it was that I did pass through sorrows many a one, that I drank up that bitter cup who made me sigh and groan. The cross's pain I did sustain, yea more my Father's ire I underwent, my blood I spent to save them from hell fire. Thus I esteemed, thus I redeemed all these from every nation, that they may be, as now you see, a chosen generation. What if erewhile they were as vile and bad as any be, and yet from all their guilt and thrall at once I set them free. My grace to one is wrong to none, none can election claim. Amongst all those, their souls that lose, none can rejection blame. He that may choose or else refuse, all men to save or spill, may this man choose and that refuse, redeeming who he will. But as for those whom I have chose salvation's heirs to be, I underwent their punishment, and therefore set them free. I bore their grief and their relief by suffering procured, that they of bliss and happiness might firmly be assured. And this my grace they did embrace, believing on my name, which faith was true, the fruits do show, proceeding from the same. Their penitence, their patience, their love and self-denial, in suffering losses and bearing crosses when put upon the trial. Their sin forsaking, their cheerful taking, my yoke, their charity, unto the saints and all their wants, and in them unto me. These things do clear and make appear their faith to be unfeigned, and that a part in my desert and purchase they have gained. Their debts are paid, their peace is made, their sins remitted are. Therefore at once I do pronounce and openly declare that heaven is theirs, that they be heirs of life and of salvation, nor ever shall they come at all to death or to damnation. Come, blessed ones, and sit on thrones, judging the world with me. Come and possess your happiness and bought felicity. Henceforth no fears, no care, no tears, no sin shall you annoy, nor anything that grief doth bring, eternal rest enjoy. You bore the cross, you suffered loss, of all for my name's sake. Receive the crown that's now your own, come and a kingdom take. Thus spake the judge, the wicked grudge and grind their teeth in vain. They see with groans these placed on thrones, which addeth to their pain, that those whom they did wrong and slay must now their judgment see. Such whom they slighted and once despited must now their judges be. Thus 'tis decreed, such is their meed, and guerdon glorious, with Christ they sit, judging it fit to plague the impious. The wicked are brought to the bar like guilty malefactors, that oftentimes of bloody crimes and treasons have been actors. Of wicked men none are so mean as there to be neglected, nor none so high in dignity as there to be respected. The glorious judge will privilege nor emperor nor king, but every one that hath misdone doth unto judgment bring. And every one that hath misdone, the judge impartially condemns them to eternal woe and endless misery. Thus one and all, thus great and small, the rich as well as poor, and those of place as the most base, do stand the judge before. They are arraigned and there detained before Christ's judgment seat, with trembling fear their doom to hear and feel his anger's heat. There Christ demands at all their hands a strict and straight account of all things done under the sun, whose number far surmount. Man's wit and thought, they all are brought unto this solemn trial, and each offense with evidence, so that there's no denial. There's no excuse for their abuse, since their own consciences more proof give in of each man's sin than thousand witnesses. Though formerly this faculty had grossly been abused, men could it stifle or with it trifle, when as it them accused, now it comes in, and every sin unto men's charge doth lay. It judges them and doth condemn, though all the world say nay. It so stingeth and tortureth, it worketh such distress, that each man's self against himself is forced to confess. It's vain, moreover, for men to cover the least iniquity. The judge has seen and privy been to all their villainy. He unto light in open sight the work of darkness brings. He doth unfold both new and old, both known and hidden things. All filthy facts and secret acts, however closely done and long concealed, are there revealed before the midday sun. Deeds of the night, shunning the light which darkest corners sought, to fearful blame and endless shame are there most judgely brought. And as all facts and grosser acts, so every word and thought, erroneous notion and lustful motion are unto judgment brought. No sin so small and trivial, but hither it must come, nor so long past, but now at last it must receive a doom. At this sad season, Christ asks a reason with just austerity, of grace refused, of light abused, so oft, so willfully, of talents lent, by them misspent, and on their lust bestown, which if improved as it behooved, heaven might have been their own. Of times neglected, of means rejected, of God's long-suffering and patience to penitents that sought hard hearts to bring, why cords of love did nothing move to shame or to remorse, why warnings grave and counsels have not changed their sinful course, why chastenings and evil things, why judgment so severe, prevailed not with them a jot, nor wrought an awful fear. Why promises of holiness and new obedience they oft did make, but always break, the same to God's offense. Why still hell word without regard a bold ventured, and chose damnation before salvation when it was offered? Why sinful pleasures and earthly treasures like fools they prized more than heavenly wealth, eternal health, and all Christ's royal store? Why when he stood offering his blood to wash them from their sin, they would embrace no saving grace but lived and died therein, such aggravations where no invasions nor false pretenses hold, exaggerate and cumulate guilt more than can be told. They multiply and magnify men's gross iniquities. They draw down wrath, as Scripture saith, out of God's treasuries. Thus all their ways Christ open lays to men and angels view, and as they were, makes them appear in their own proper hue. Thus he doth find of all mankind that stand at his left hand, no mother's son but hath misdone and broken God's command. All have transgressed even the best and merited God's wrath unto their own perdition and everlasting scath. Earth dwellers all, both great and small, have wrought iniquity, and suffer must, for it is just eternal misery. Amongst the many there come not any before the judge's face that able are themselves to clear of all this cursed race. Nevertheless, they all express Christ granting liberty, what for their way they have to say, how they have lived and why. They all draw near and seek to clear themselves by making pleas. There, hypocrites, false-hearted wits, do make such pleas as these. Lord, in thy name and by the same we devils dispossessed, we raised the dead and ministered succor to the distressed. Our painful teaching and powerful preaching by thine own wondrous might did thoroughly win to God from sin many a wretched wight. All this, quoth he, may granted be in your case little bettered, who still remains under a chain and many irons fettered. You that the dead have quickened and rescued from the grave, yourselves were dead, yet ne'er needed a Christ your souls to save. You that could preach and others teach what way to life doth lead, why were you slack to find that track and in that way to tread? And how could you bear to see or hear of others freed at last from Satan's paws, whilst in his jaws yourselves were held more fast? Who though you knew repentance true and faith is my great name, the only mean to quit you clean from punishment and blame? You took no pain, true faith to gain, such as might not deceive, nor would repent with true intent your evil deeds to leave. His master's will, how to fulfill the servant that well knew, yet left undone, his duty known, more plagues to him are due. You against light perverted right, wherefore it shall be now, for Sidon and for Sodom's land more easy than for you. But we have in thy presence been, say some, and eaten there. Did we not eat thy flesh for meat and feed on heavenly cheer? whereon who feed shall never need, as thou thyself dost say, nor shall they die eternally, but live with Christ for a. We may allege, thou gav'st a pledge of thy dear love to us, in wine and bread, which figured thy grace bestowed thus, of strengthening seals, of sweetest meals, have we so oft partaken, and shall we be cast off by thee and utterly forsaken, to whom the Lord thus in a word returns a short reply, I never knew in e of you that wrought iniquity. You say you've been my presence in, but then how came you there, with raiment vile that did defile and quite disgrace my cheer? Thrust you draw near without due fear unto my holy table? Dare you profane and render vain, so far as you were able, those mysteries which whoso prize and carefully improve shall saved be undoubtedly, and nothing shall them move? How dare you venture, bold guests, to enter in such a sordid hue amongst my guests unto those feasts that were not made for you? How dare you eat for spiritual meat your bane and drink damnation, whilst by your guile you rendered vile so rare and great salvation? Your fancies fed on heavenly bread, your hearts fed on some lust. You love the creature more than the Creator, your souls clove to the dust. And think you, by hypocrisy and cloaked wickedness, to enter in, laid in with sin, to lasting happiness? This your excuse shows your abuse of things ordained for good, and doth declare you guilty are of my dear flesh and blood. Wherefore those seals and precious meals you put so much upon, as things divine they seal and sign you to perdition. Then forth issue another crew, those being silenced, who drawing nigh to the Most High, adventure thus to plead. We sinners were, say they, 'tis clear, deserving condemnation. But did not we rely on thee, O Christ, for whole salvation? We did believe, and oft receive thy gracious promises. We took great care to get a share in endless happiness. We prayed and wept, and fast days kept, lewd ways we did eschew. We joyful were thy word to hear, we formed our lives anew. We thought our sin had pardoned been, that our estate was good, our debts all paid, our peace well made, our souls washed with thy blood. Lord, why dost thou reject us now, who have not thee rejected, nor utterly true sanctity and holy life neglected? The judge incensed at their pretensed self-vaunting piety, with such a look as trembling struck unto them made reply, O impudent, impenitent, and guileful generation, think you that I cannot descry your heart's abomination? You nor received nor yet believed my promises of grace, nor were you wise enough to prize my reconciled face, but did presume that to assume which was not yours to take, and challenged the children's bread, yet would not sin forsake. Being too bold, you laid fast hold where interest you had none, yourself deceiving by your believing all which you might have known. You ran away, but ran astray with gospel promises, and perished, being still dead in sins and trespasses. How oft did I hypocrisy and heart's deceits unmask before your sight, giving you light to know a Christian's task? But you held fast unto the last your own conceits so vain, nor warning could prevail, you would your own deceits retain. It's for your care to get a share in bliss, the fear of hell, and of a part in endless smart did thereunto compel. Your holiness in ways redress, such as it was, did spring from no true love to things above, but from some other thing. You prayed and wept, you fast days kept, but did you this to me? No, but for sin you sought to win the greater liberty. For all your vaunts, you had vile haunts, for which your conscience is. Did you alarm? Whose voice to charm? You used these practices. Your penitence, your diligence, to read, to pray, to hear, were but to drown the clamorous sound of conscience in your ear. If light you loved, vainglory moved, yourselves therewith to store, that seeming wise, men might you prize and honor you the more. Thus from yourselves unto yourselves your duties all do tend, and as self-love the wills doth move, and in self-love they end. Thus Christ detects their vain projects, and close impiety, and plainly shows that all their shows were but hypocrisy. Then were brought nigh a company of civil honest men that loved true dealing and hated stealing, ne'er wronged their brethren, who pleaded thus, "Thou knowest us, that we were blameless livers, no whoremongers, no murderers, no quarrelers, nor strivers. Idolaters, adulterers, church robbers we were none, nor false dealers, nor cozeners, but paid each man his own. Our way was fair, our dealing square, we were no wasteful spenders, no lewd tossed pots, no drunken sots, nor scandalous offenders. We hated vice, and set great price by virtuous conversation, and by the same we got a name and no small commendation. God's laws express that righteousness is that which he doth prize, and to obey as he doth say is more than sacrifice. Thus to obey hath been our way. Let our good deeds, we pray, find some regard and some reward with thee, O Lord, this day. And whereas we, transgressors be, of Adam's race were none, no, not the best, but have confessed themselves to have misdone." Then answered unto their dread the judge, true piety, "God doth desire, and eke require, no less than honesty. Justice demands at all your hands perfect obedience. If but in part you have come short, that is a just offense. On earth below, where men did owe 1,000 pounds and more, could 20 pence it recompense? Could that have cleared the score? Think you, too, by felicity, with part of what's due debt, or for desert of one small part, the whole should oft be set? And yet that part, whose great desert you think to reach so far, for your excuse doth you accuse, and will your boasting mar? However fair, however square, your way and work hath been before men's eyes, yet God espies iniquity therein. God looks upon the affection, the temper of the heart, not only on the action and the external part. Whatever in vain men pretend, God knows of verity, and by the end which they intend, their words and deeds doth try. Without true faith, the scripture saith, God cannot take delight in any deed that doth proceed from any sinful blight. And without love, all actions prove but barren empty things, dead works they be, and vanity, the which vexation brings. Nor from true faith, which quencheth wrath, hath your obedience flown, nor from true love, which want to move, believers hath it grown. Your argument shows your intent in all that you have done. You thought to scale heaven's lofty wall by ladders of your own. Your blinded spirit, hoping to merit by your own righteousness, needed no savior but your behavior and blameless carriages. You trusted too what you could do, and in no need you stood. Your haughty pride laid me aside and trampled on my blood. All men have gone astray and done that which God's laws condemn, but my purchase and offered grace all men did not contemn. The Ninevites and Sodomites had no such sin as this, yet as if all your sins were small, you say all did amiss. Again you thought, and mainly sought, a name with men to acquire. Pride bare the bell that made you swell, and your own selves admire. Mean fruit it is, and vile I wis, that springs from such a root. Virtue divine and genuine wants not from pride to shoot. Such deeds as your are worse than poor, they are but sin's guilt over. With silver dross, whose glistering gloss can them no longer cover. The best of them would you condemn, and ruin you alone, although you were from fault so clear that other you had none. Your gold is brass, your silver dross, your righteousness is sin. And think you by such honesty eternal life to win? You must mistake, if for its sake you dream of acceptation, whereas the same deserveth shame and meriteth damnation. A wondrous crowd then began aloud, thus for themselves to say, we did intend, Lord, to amend and to reform our way. Our true intent was to repent and make our peace with thee, but sudden death, stopping our breath, left us no liberty. Short was our time, for in its prime our youthful power was cropped. We died in youth before full growth, so was our purpose stopped. Let our good will to turn from ill and sin to have forsaken, accepted be, O Lord, by thee, and in good part be taken. To whom the judge, where you allege the shortness of the space, that from your birth you lived on earth to compass saving grace, it was free grace that any space was given you at all, to turn from evil, defy the devil, and upon God to call. One day, one week, wherein to seek God's face with all your hearts, a favor was that far did pass the best of your deserts. You had a season, what was your reason, such precious hours to waste? What could you find, what could you mind, that was of greater haste? Could you find time for vain pastime, for loose licentious mirth, for fruitless toys and fading joys that perish in the birth? Had you good leisure for carnal pleasure in days of health and youth, and yet no space to seek God's face and turn to Him in truth? In younger years, beyond your fears, what if you were surprised? You put away the evil day, and of long life devised. You oft were told, and might behold, that death no age doth spare. Why then did you your time foreslow and slight your soul's welfare? Had your intent been to repent, and had you it desired, there would have been endeavor seen before your time expired. God makes no treasure, nor hath he pleasure in idle purposes. Such fair pretenses are foul offenses and cloaks for wickedness. Then were brought in and charged with sin another company, who by petition obtained permission to make apology. they argued, we were misled, as is well known to thee, by their example, that had more ample abilities than we, such as professed, they did detest, and hate each wicked way, whose seeming grace, whilst we did trace, our souls were led astray. When men of parts, learning and arts, professing piety, did thus and thus, it seemed to us, we might take liberty. The judge replies, I gave you eyes, and light to see your way, which had you loved, and well improved, you had not gone astray. My word was pure, the rule was sure, why did you it forsake, or thereon trample, and men's example, your directory make? This well you knew, that God is true, and that most men are liars, and word professing, holiness, indeed thereof deniers. O simple fools, that having rules, your lives to regulate, would them refuse, and rather choose, vile men to imitate. But Lord, say they, we went astray, and did more wickedly, by means of those whom thou hast chose, salvation's heirs to be. To whom the judge, what you allege, doth nothing help the case, but makes appear how vile you were, and rendereth you more base. You understood that what was good was to be followed, and that you ought that which was not to have relinquished. Contrarywise, it was your guise only to imitate good men's defects and their neglects who were regenerate. But to express their holiness or imitate their grace, you little cared, nor once prepared your hearts to seek my face. They did repent, and truly rent their hearts for all known sin. You did offend, but not amend, to follow them therein. We had thy word, say some, O Lord, but wiser men than we could never yet interpret it, but always disagree. How could we fools be led by rules so far beyond our ken, which to explain did so much pain and puzzle wisest men? Was all my word abstruse and hard? The judge then answered, it did contain much truth so plain you might have run and read. But what was hard, you never cared to know or study it, and things that were most plain and clear, you never practiced. The mystery of piety God unto babes reveals, when to the wise he it denies and from the world conceals. If to fulfill God's holy will had seemed good to you, you would have sought light as you ought, and done the good you knew. Then came in view another crew, and gan to make their pleas. Amongst the rest, some of the best had such poor shifts as these. Thou knowest right well, who all canst tell, we lived amongst thy foes, who thou renet did sorely hate and goodness much oppose. We holiness durst not profess, fearing to be forlorn of all our friends, and for amends to be the wicked scorn. We knew their anger would much endanger our lives and our estates, therefore for fear we durst appear no better than our mates. To whom the Lord returns this word, O wonderful deceits, to cast off awe of God's strict law, and fear men's wrath and threats, to fear hell fire and God's fierce ire less than the rage of men. As if God's wrath could do no less than wrath of brethren. To use such strife, a temporal life, to rescue and secure, and be so blind as not to mind that life that will endure. This was your case, who carnal peace more than true joys did savor, who fed on dust, clave to your lust, and spurned at my favor, to please your kin, men's love to win, to flow in worldly wealth, to save your skin, these things have been more than eternal health. You had your choice, wherein rejoice, it was your portion, for which you chose your souls to expose unto perdition. Why did you not hate friends, life, and state, with all things else for me, and all forsake, and cross up take? Shall never happy be, well worthy they, to die for a, who death and life had rather. Death is their due, that so value the friendship of my father. Others argue, and not a few, is not God gracious? His equity and clemency, are they not marvelous? Thus we believed, are we deceived? Cannot his mercy great, as hath been told to us of old, assuage his anger's heat? How can it be that God should see his creatures' endless pain, or hear their groans and rueful moans, and still his wrath retain? Can it agree with equity, can mercy have the heart to recompense few years' offense with everlasting smart? Can God delight in such a sight as sinners' misery? Of what great good can this our blood bring unto the Most High? O thou that dost thy glory most in pardoning sin display, Lord, might it please thee to release and pardon us this day. Unto thy name, most glorious fame, would not such mercy bring? Would not it raise thine endless praise more than our suffering? With that they cease, holding their peace, but cease not still to weep. Grief ministers a flood of tears in which their words do steep. But all too late, grief's out of date, when life is at an end. The glorious King, thus answering, all to his voice attend. God gracious is, quoth he, like his, no mercy can be found. His equity and clemency to sinners does abound, as may appear by those that here are placed at my right hand, whose stripes I bore and cleared the score that they might quitted stand. For surely none but God alone, whose grace transcends men's thought, for such as those that were his foes like wonders would have wrought. And none but he such lenity and patience would have shown to you so long who did him wrong and pulled his judgment down. How long a space, O stiff-necked race, did patience you afford? How oft did love you gently move to turn unto the Lord? With cords of love, God often strove your stubborn hearts to tame. Nevertheless, your wickedness did still resist the same. If now at last mercy be passed from you forevermore, and justice come in mercy's room, yet grudge you not therefore. If into wrath God turned hath his long, long suffering, and now for love you vengeance prove, it is an equal thing. Your waxing worse has stopped the course of wanted clemency. Mercy refused and grace misused call for severity. It's now high time that every crime be brought to punishment. Wrath long contained and oft restrained at last must have a vent. Justice severe cannot forbear to plague sin any longer, but must inflict with hand most strict mischief upon the wronger. In vain do they for mercy pray, the season being past, who had no care to get a share therein while time did last. The man whose ear refused to hear the voice of wisdom's cry earned this reward that none regard him in his misery. It doth agree with equity and with God's holy law that those should die eternally that death upon them draw. The soul that sins, damnation wins, for so the law ordains, which law is just, and therefore must, such suffer endless pains. Eternal smart is the desert, even of the least offense. Then wonder not if I allot to you this recompense, but wonder more that since so sore and lasting plagues are due to every sin you lived therein, you well the danger knew. God hath no joy to crush or destroy and ruin wretched wights, but to display the glorious ray of justice he delights. To manifest he doth detest and thoroughly hate all sin. By plaguing it, as is most fit, this shall him glory win. Then at the bar arraigned are a more impudent sort, who to evade the guilt that's laid upon them thus retort. How could we cease thus to transgress? How could we hell avoid, whom God's decree shut out from thee, and signed to be destroyed? Whom God ordains to endless pains by law unalterable, repentance true, obedience new, to save such are unable. Sorrow for sin no good can win to such as are rejected, nor can they grieve nor yet believe that never were elected. Of man's fallen race, who can true grace or holiness obtain, who can convert or change his heart, if God withhold the same? Had we applied ourselves and tried as much as who did most, God's love to gain, our busy pain and labor had been lost. Christ readily makes this reply, I damn you not because you are rejected nor yet elected, but you have broke my laws. It is in vain your wits to strain the end and means to sever. Men fondly seek to part or break what God has linked together. Whom God will save, such he will have the means of life to use. Whom he'll pass by shall choose to die and ways of life refuse. He that foresees and foredecrees and wisdom ordered has that man's free will, electing ill, shall bring his will to pass. In God's decree, as it is free, so doth it none compel against their will to good or ill. It forces none to hell. They have their wish, whose souls perish with torments in hell fire, who rather choose their souls to lose than leave a loose desire. God did ordain sinners to pain, yet he to hell sends none, but such as swerved and have deserved destruction as their own. His pleasure is that not from bliss and endless happiness be barred, but such as wronged him much by willful wickedness. You sinful crew, no other knew but you might be elect. Why did you then yourselves condemn? Why did you me reject? Where was your strife to gain that life which lasteth evermore? You never knocked, yet say God locked against you heaven's door. 'Twas no vain task to knock and ask whilst life continued. Whoever sought heaven as he ought, and seeking perished, the lowly meek who truly seek for Christ and for salvation, there's no decree whereby such be ordained to condemnation. You argue then, but abject men whom God resolved to spill cannot repent, nor their hearts rent, nor can they change their will. Not for his can is any man adjudged unto hell, but for his will to do what's ill, and not desiring well. I often stood tendering my blood to wash away your guilt, and eke my sprite to frame you right, lest your soul should be spilt. But you vile race rejected grace when grace was freely proffered. No changed heart, no heavenly part would you when it was offered. Who willfully the remedy and means of life contemned, cause have the same themselves to blame if now they be condemned. You have yourselves, you and none else, to blame that you must die. You chose the way to your decay and perished willfully. These words appall and daunt them all, dismayed and all amort, like stocks that stand at Christ's left hand and dare no more retort. Then were brought near with trembling fear a numberless of blind heathen and brutish men that did God's law transgress, whose wicked ways Christ open lays and makes their sins appear. They make and please their case to ease, if not themselves to clear. Thy written word, say they, good Lord, we never did enjoy. We ne'er refused, nor it abused. Oh, do not us destroy. You ne'er abused, nor yet refused, my written word you plead. That's true, quoth he, therefore shall ye the less be punished. You shall not smart for any part of other men's offense, but for your own transgression receive due recompense. But we were blind, say they, in mind, too dim was nature's light. Our only guide is hath been tried to bring us to the sight of our estate degenerate and cursed by Adam's fall. How we were born and lay forlorn in bondage and in thrall. We did not know a Christ till now, nor how fallen men be saved. Else would we not right well, we wot, have so ourselves behaved. We should have mourned, we should have turned from sin at thy reproof, and been more wise through thy advice for our own soul's behoof. But nature's light shine not so bright to teach us the right way. We might have loved it and well improved it, and yet have gone astray. The Judge Most High makes this reply, you ignorance pretend, dimness of sight and want of light, your course heavenward to bend. How came your mind to be so blind? I once you knowledge gave, clearness of sight and judgment right, who did the same deprave. If to your cost you have it lost and quite defaced the same, your own desert has caused a smart, you ought not me to blame. Yourselves unto a pit of woe, your own transgression led. If I to none my grace had shown, who had been injured. If to a few and not to you I showed a way of life, my grace so free, you clearly see, gives you no ground of strife.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.